This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if this week's gospel lesson sounds a little familiar to you, it's because we read at least part of it 6 weeks ago on the first Sunday of Epiphany, making Jesus known to the world. Traditionally starts with taking note of his baptism. And so we identify Jesus' baptism with the beginning of his public ministry. Now on this first Sunday of Lent, we revisit that story of Jesus' baptism. And St. Mark reminds us in his own very succinct way that Jesus' ministry and service do not start immediately after his baptism. Using just two little verses, Mark describes a very significant event. And by the way, this same event is described by both St. Matthew and St. Luke in much more detail. Mark tells us in verses 12 and 13, he says this, he says, "And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts. And the angels waited on him." Before Jesus can even begin his ministry or start the process of calling followers to himself, the Holy Spirit drives him. That's a strong word, isn't it? Drives him out into the wilderness. Jesus is out in the wilderness 40 days. He's out there with the wild animals, which means he's in physical danger. And maybe more importantly, he's out there with Satan, which means he was in spiritual danger too. If all we had was St. Mark's kind of pithy version of this story, we wouldn't know that Jesus fasted during those 40 days. And we wouldn't know any of the specifics of how Satan tempted Jesus. But according to both Matthew and Luke, Jesus was famished after 40 days of fasting. Satan shows up and tempts Jesus by suggesting he turn the stones of the desert into loaves of bread to eat. No dice. Jesus wants nothing to do with that. He quotes Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, and tells the tempter, "Man does not live on bread alone." And so Satan takes another shot, this time from a different angle. They go to the highest point of the temple when Satan coaxes Jesus to throw himself off the top of the temple just to see if Psalm 91 was true, that God's angels would bear him up lest he strike his foot on a stone. Another epic fail by Satan. This time Jesus quotes Deuteronomy chapter 6 about not putting God to the test. And so Satan makes one final attempt to derail Jesus from his mission. He promises to give all the kingdoms of the world to Jesus if he'll just fall down and worship him. And it's a good thing for us, this is strike 3. Jesus has had enough of this nonsense and quotes Deuteronomy chapter 6 this time. And he says, "Go, Satan, for it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Please don't assume by the casual way I told these stories about the temptations that they weren't deadly serious. Because they were. Satan was doing his very best to destroy Jesus both physically and spiritually. Cast yourself down. Worship me instead of God the Father. Take the bait and go for worldly power and glory. And you know, if the fully human Jesus had succumbed to any of these temptations, his God-given mission and service to the world, service within the kingdom of God, would have amounted to a big zero. But by recognizing these temptations were the deadly traps that they were, and by actually letting God's written word guide the way he lived, Jesus' service to the world was assured. The angels came, ministered to him, and he was able, after this time of temptation, and only after that time, to begin his ministry. And that's our Lenten focus this year. This idea of serving God through ministry. And if these temptations that were so much a part of either allowing Jesus or not allowing him to serve because he gave into them, if that was true of Jesus in the first century, it's just as true of us in the 21st century. Giving in to temptation is an obstacle to serving in the kingdom of God. We see this clearly if we start by looking at the kinds of temptation that Jesus faced in the wilderness. And then see how those temptations relate to us today. And you know, we might even find something that's relevant to us in the 21st century in that story of Noah that we read about in our first lesson. And it kind of makes sense that we should start there, I think. That first lesson about Noah is about the covenant God makes with Noah. In fact, with all of creation after the floodwaters have receded. God basically is telling Noah here not to worry, to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, and have no fear because God's never again going to destroy the earth through the flood. Now, I read that story, it occurred to me that it might be helpful for us if we just kind of use our imaginations right here and just try to enter that story of Noah a little bit. If we do that, you think old Noah might have been tempted to wonder about the fine print of this covenant that God was making with him? In other words, you think Noah might have been tempted not to completely trust God? Even after God makes this covenant with them and puts the rainbow in the sky as evidence of the covenant? I don't know, when I think about that train of thought, I can almost picture Noah saying to himself, okay, God, you're not going to flood the earth again, but you know, there are a lot of other ways you could bring things to a screeching halt. What about heat, cold, wind, earthquakes, an asteroid? You know, if you've just ridden out the destruction of the earth in an ark, maybe your willingness to serve God could be a little dampened by lack of trust. And if you think back to the rest of the story of Noah, another whole slew of obstacles to service kind of come to mind. You think Noah might have been tempted to abandon the whole project God gave him if his neighbors had started making fun of him? Hey, you see that crazy Noah? He's building a boat, a big boat. He's talking about some kind of a flood. He's out there gathering animals two by two. I think old Noah might have a screw loose, don't you? You think anybody today is afraid of serving God because they might look foolish? I know I, for one, kind of like to be taken seriously by my family and my friends and the people that I work with. And if I get too much into this God thing, they'll think of me as some kind of a religious nut. And what if I start spending more time and more money doing kingdom work? Don't you think there might be someone out there who would wonder if maybe I have a screw loose? Fear of ridicule is definitely a temptation that can be an obstacle to service. And so is fear of failure. We talked about this a little bit last week. God gave Noah bigger jobs to do than Noah could have ever imagined. Build the ark, round up animals two by two, ride out the coming storm for 40 days, and oh, by the way, repopulate the earth. You know, the Bible doesn't record Noah's fear of failure. Come on, he was only human. If Noah had given in to that fear of failure, that temptation to think that he wasn't up to the God-given jobs that God had given him to do, I doubt that there would be five chapters in the Bible talking about him. Fear of failure is definitely an obstacle that gets in the way of kingdom work. So we jump forward to our gospel lesson today. And we know something, because we know that story of Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. We know something about the kinds of temptation Jesus faced in the wilderness. Now I'll tell you, they are as real for us today as they were for him in the first century. When Satan says in that first temptation, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread," I can think of at least two different temptations at work. We already said Jesus was famished after 40 days of fasting. And wouldn't it have been very tempting for him to use extraordinary means to satisfy this physical need that he had? It would have been tempting to temporarily set aside that role as the humble servant king he was supposed to be in order to take care of himself in that instance. But you know, who's to say where that kind of thinking leads? Don't we get a whole different kind of Jesus if his first miracle had been to turn water into wine for his own consumption? Just because he liked good wine? That's a different kind of Christ. And we know that some of those who opposed Jesus accused him of being a glutton and a drunkard. But don't you think his ability to serve God's purposes would have been compromised if he really had been? I have to admit to you that talking about the deadly sin of gluttony, it's a little close to home for me. I am, after all, the one who just had weight loss surgery in November. Believe me when I tell you that giving in to the temptation to satisfy physical needs has a definite effect on your ability to serve God. But there's an even more subtle temptation in the devil's first attack. He says, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." If you are the Son of God. Here Satan was attacking Jesus' pride. How easy would it have been for Jesus to say, "Let me show you something about being the Son of God." And before you know it, Jesus, the suffering servant, becomes Jesus, the show-off, or Jesus, the vindictive. And that is a different kind of Jesus. It's no secret that when our pride is injured, we can say and do some pretty awful things. Things that can prevent us from serving the Lord. So finally, let's consider all the different temptations at work when Jesus was tempted by Satan, when he offered all the kingdoms of the world if Jesus would just fall down and worship Satan. Talk about deadly sins. Absolute power corrupts absolutely, right? The offer of absolute power is really a temptation to be greedy, even lustful. History is full of people who lusted after power. History is full of people who envied the power of others. Those are all deadly sins. But as deadly as those sins might have been, the thought of Jesus actually worshiping Satan is even worse. And there's simply no question that when we're tempted today by greed or lust or envy, our ability to serve God is compromised. You know, in fact, I'll even go further than that. Without a change of heart that only the Holy Spirit can bring, it's all but impossible to serve the Lord when we are in the habit of giving in to those sins, to those temptations. The temptation itself isn't the sin. It's when we give in to those temptations that we sin. And that idea of Jesus worshiping Satan, it's almost hard for us to even conceive of that. Today, there are a whole host of idols our contemporary culture would rather have us worship than the Lord God Almighty. It would be very easy for us to worship something other than God. Worshiping the idols of money, power, sex, youth, fitness, busyness, fashion, technology, fame. I mean, the list is endless. All those things, though, when we give in and worship those things, that interferes with our ability to serve God. So part of our Lenten journey this year, part of discerning how we are to serve, includes recognizing the obstacles that prevent us from living into our God-given mission. So on this first Sunday of Lent, let's pray that God would open our eyes to those obstacles that hinder our service. And let's pray that His Spirit would fill us and empower us to resist those temptations and overcome those obstacles so that God can use us in His work for this world right now. Amen.